Imagine for a second, right, that you are buying a ticket to your absolute favorite summer music festival.
Oh, yeah, the one you wait all year for.
Exactly. You click the link, and the site is just beautiful. It perfectly matches the festival's vibe. If it's like a punk rock festival, it's got that gritty DIY aesthetic with jagged fonts and dark
Right.
backgrounds.
Or if it's an upscale boutique wellness retreat, it's very polished, minimalist, and serene.
Yeah, you feel like you are already there, just totally immersed in the experience. But what if I told you that website, that perfect digital environment you are interacting with, is essentially a digital illusion?
It really is. I mean, it is a very carefully constructed facade designed specifically so you never notice the massive, highly complex machinery operating just beneath the surface.
Which is wild to think about.
Event organizers go to incredible lengths to make sure you never realize you've actually left their ecosystem and entered, well, an industrial e-commerce processing plant.
And that machinery is exactly what we are uncovering in today's deep dive. We are looking at a really fascinating stack of sources today.
We've got a lot of ground to cover.
We do. We've pulled together these deep-in-the-weeds financial survival guides for festival promoters, which were written by Ticket Fairy. Plus, industry blogs from ticketing platforms like Tixer, EventCube, Tickmint, and High Events.
And we even have some raw internet security logs, which frankly show the brutal split-second warfare happening on the back end of these platforms.
Right. So our mission today is to uncover the hidden high-stakes machinery of the live events industry, because we only ever really interact with this industry as consumers, you know.
Yeah, we just click buy, get excited, and wait for the weekend.
Exactly. But the reality of what it actually takes to get you through those physical gates involves an invisible war over data.
Constantly escalating cybersecurity threats.
Yeah, and a financial tightrope so perilous that a single unexpected rainstorm can spell absolute bankruptcy for the organizers.
It's a miracle any of these events actually happen, honestly.
It really is. Okay, let's unpack this. I want to start with that digital front door of the events you love, the beautiful, seamless website where you actually enter your credit card information.
The illusion we were just talking about.
Right. Looking at the sources, the examples of this illusion are everywhere. When you buy a ticket for Lollapalooza, you are not actually buying it from Lollapalooza.
No, you're using a platform called FrontGate Tickets.
Exactly. And if you are navigating a really slick interface for Riot Fest, that is actually a platform called Tixer.
Or maybe you're buying a ticket for Sydenham Arts and that's running on SeatLab.
But you'd never know it by looking at the URL or the branding.
And that invisibility is the entire selling point. It's a concept known in the industry as white label ticketing.
White label
Hey.
ticketing, okay.
Yeah, event organizers are essentially renting a massive global software engine and, just throwing their own custom paint job over it.
That makes sense.
They get to sell tickets under their own brand without having to spend millions of dollars and years of time developing the underlying e-commerce technology, the server architecture, the payment gateways.
So it's basically like a ghost kitchen for live
Oh,
events.
that's a great way to put it.
Yeah, you think you're ordering from a bespoke local restaurant, but the underlying infrastructure cooking it up is a massive, highly optimized industrial operation that's handling thousands of orders simultaneously.
Exactly. And what's fascinating here is the psychology behind why organizers feel the need to use a ghost kitchen model in the first place.
It's not just about looking cool.
No, it isn't merely about aesthetics. It really comes down to consumer trust and reducing e-commerce friction. Think about your own behavior online.
Okay.
When you are on a beautifully branded festival site and you click buy tickets, but you are suddenly redirected to a generic, clunky, third-party site with a completely different color scheme and a different URL, what happens in your mind?
Oh, I instantly hesitate. Like, I check the address bar to see if I clicked a spam link, or I wonder if my credit card information is actually secure on this random page.
Ah.
It completely pulls me out of the excitement of buying the ticket.
And that hesitation is called friction. And in e-commerce, friction kills sales.
Wow.
Even a tiny percentage of users abandoning their carts because they got spooked, I mean, that translates to massive revenue losses.
So a seamless branded experience directly boosts conversions because the buyer feels safe.
Right. They feel like they were dealing directly with the festival they already love and trust, rather than some faceless payment processor.
Meaning you, the listener, have likely used a dozen of these platforms, EventCube, TicketSpies, TicketSauce, Ticketmint, without ever realizing it.
They are designed to be entirely invisible to you.
But organizers go to all this trouble to create this perfect branded bubble on the front end to win your trust. But what good is that trust if the moment you enter your credit card, someone steals your data?
And that brings us to the invisible war happening on the back end. It is so intense.
Yeah, I want to pivot to the back end now.
Yeah.
Because we are seeing a massive shift happening in the industry right now, according to the blogs.
A huge shift. Event organizers are actively fleeing massive legacy platforms.
The old guard of the ticketing world, right? Like Eventbrite.
Yeah, they are migrating to these modern, invisible alternatives. And it's driven by a potent combination of economics, data rights, and security.
Wait, I want to push back on that logically. Eventbrite is a massive trusted name. Everyone knows them.
Sure.
So if I'm a local indie promoter, why would I risk migrating to an unknown ghost kitchen platform just to save a few bucks on fees? Is it really just about organizers not wanting to pay high fees?
Well, fees are a major catalyst. I mean, the sources mention platforms like High Events Advertising. They're up to 78% cheaper than Eventbrite.
78%.
Yeah, it's huge. But the real war here is over first-party data ownership.
Okay, unpack that.
Legacy platforms essentially act as walled gardens. They hoard your data. When you buy a ticket to a local indie rock show through a massive legacy platform, the promoter does all the hard work, right?
Yeah, booking the band, running the market,
getting you to the checkout page. But the platform gets to keep your email, your demographic information, and your purchasing history.
Leaving the actual organizer with almost nothing.
Exactly. The local promoter might get just enough basic info to scan you in at the door. The legacy platform owns the relationship.
That seems so backwards.
It gets worse. They then take that data, which the indie promoter generated, and use it to feed their own massive consumer marketplace.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They might even use the data from your transaction to email you about a different show run by a competing promoter happening across town next weekend.
That is incredibly frustrating. You are essentially doing the heavy lifting to feed the ticketing platform's consumer marketplace, allowing them to leverage your own fans against you.
Modern white label platforms flip that dynamic completely. They give the event organizers full, unrestricted ownership of their customer data.
So the organizer actually owns the relationship.
Right. They can analyze the demographics of who is buying what, run highly targeted marketing campaigns, and build direct, long-term loyalty without a middleman interfering.
But taking ownership of that data means you also take on the burden of protecting it.
Which is not easy.
No, this is where the sources get wild. I was reading through the raw security logs provided in the materials regarding a platform called Vivenue, and it literally looks like a hacker movie.
It really does.
The log shows a blocked connection that just flashes 403 forbidden, followed by a Cloudflare warning stating, attention required, you are unable to access vivenue.com.
Because the system detected actions that looked like SQL commands?
Right, or malformed data, and it instantly severed the connection.
Protecting tickets and attendee data is a brutal, constantly escalating arms race. And SQL injection isn't just someone, you know, guessing passwords at a login screen.
What is it then?
It's a hacker trying to literally trick the database into rewriting itself. They type malicious code into a seemingly innocent text box, like a promo code field, attempting to alter the ticket price to $0.
Oh, wow.
Or worse, they command the database to dump the entire list of attendees' credit cards.
So Cloudflare acts like a highly paranoid bouncer in this scenario.
That's exactly what it is.
The second it sees a user trying to hand it a fake ID, like a string of malformed code, it doesn't just reject the ID, it permanently bans that person from the club.
Yeah.
It drops the connection instantly to protect the architecture.
Because the people trying to break into these systems, whether they are data thieves or sophisticated ticket scalping bot networks, they are constantly evolving.
Right.
A scalping bot network doesn't just click refresh really fast. They use thousands of distributed IP addresses to scrape ticketing sites, lock hundreds of tickets in shopping carts simultaneously so real fans can't buy them.
Which we've all experienced trying to buy concert tickets.
Exactly. They hold them indefinitely until they secure a buyer on the secondary market, and only then do they execute the purchase.
Which explains why the old school static PDF ticket, the one you used to print out at home or keep in your email, is completely dead in the modern events industry.
Yeah, it's completely obsolete.
Because a PDF is ultimately just a static picture of a barcode. A scalper can photocopy it 100 times, sell it to 100 different desperate fans in the parking lot, and only the very first person who happens to reach the scanner actually gets in.
The other 99 are turned away at the gate, completely scammed.
To defeat bots and scalpers mechanically, modern platforms have had to move entirely to dynamic technology.
Right. They deploy rotating QR codes that automatically refresh every few seconds. If a scalper takes a screenshot to sell, that screenshot is useless 5 seconds later.
That is so smart.
Even more advanced is NFC, near-field communication ticketing.
Like tapping your credit card at a coffee shop to get into a venue.
Exactly. The sources highlighted the Cowboys Music Festival during the Calgary Stampede. They securely scanned 94,000 fans over 11 days using device-bound mobile wallet credentials.
Device-bound, so it's locked to the phone.
The ticket is cryptographically tied to the physical hardware of your specific phone. If a scalper tries to text the ticket to a buyer, the ticket realizes it has changed devices, breaks the cryptographic chain, and instantly self-destructs.
That is incredible. It ensures legitimate access and protects both the fans and the organizers from massive fraud operations. But here's where it gets really interesting.
Okay.
Why do organizers care so deeply about every single ticket conversion, fighting off every single scalper and capturing all that data?
Right. What's the core motivation?
According to the Ticket Fairy survival guides we have in our stack, the financial reality of running a festival is terrifyingly perilous. The margins are practically non-existent.
Most people just see a massive party in a field with great lighting and expensive sound systems.
Yeah, they don't see the precarious spreadsheets holding that entire field together.
The Ticket Fairy guides focus heavily on a concept called cash starvation.
Cash starvation.
It is the number one killer of independent festivals. Let's look at the actual timeline math of a large event. Most of your major expenses hit months before the festival actually takes place.
Right.
The headline, artists demand massive non-refundable deposits up front. The local government requires permits to be paid. The staging and lighting companies want half their money 6 months out just to reserve their equipment.
So all of this money is pouring out the door long before the bulk of the fans actually decide to buy their tickets.
You are spending millions of dollars in March on the assumption that fans will show up in June.
That sounds terrifying.
If your early bird ticket sales lag even slightly, or if a major sponsor suddenly drops out, organizers can literally run out of liquid capital before the stages are even built.
Wow.
You starve for cash, you miss a critical payment to the fencing company, and the whole house of cards collapses overnight.
And even if you sell every single ticket, you are still entirely at the mercy of the sky.
The weather.
Yes. The sources talk about the strict necessity of maintaining a 10 to 15% weather reserve. The real-world stakes here are incredibly high. Look at the legendary Philadelphia Folk Festival.
A staple of the community for 60 years.
Right, and they recently had to go on hiatus due to mounting debt. Or in 1997, Japan's Fuji Rock Festival was hit by a massive typhoon on day one.
Fuji Rock is a legendary example of how fast things go wrong. When that typhoon hit, they didn't just lose their daily revenue, the contingency infrastructure completely failed.
Right.
They had to physically evacuate thousands of people from a mountain, abandon ruined infrastructure, and issue massive refunds while having almost zero liquid capital on hand.
That is a nightmare.
They had to completely reinvent their financial modeling to ensure they always had untouched reserves to buy emergency wood chips for mud, rent heavy-duty water pumps, or handle mass evacuations.
So if the risk is this massive, and one bad storm or a slow month of sales can end your business forever, how do you practically survive that terrifying gap between paying the band in March and collecting the fans' money in June?
If we connect this to the bigger picture, survival comes down to the absolute art of financial pacing and aggressive vendor negotiation. Organizers simply cannot accept standard terms.
Like paying up front.
Right. If a staging company wants 100% payment up front, the festival has to push back hard. They have to negotiate net 30 post-event payments.
Meaning they agree to pay the bill 30 days after the festival ends, once all the ticket revenue and the bar sales have officially cleared the bank.
Yes.
You essentially have to convince your vendors to give you short-term loans to float the event.
You meticulously align your outflows with your inflows. And once the festival week actually arrives, the financial tracking becomes an obsessive minute-by-minute process.
The sources contrast two very different approaches to this reality, actually.
Oh, yeah, the Warped Tour versus Firefest.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You have the legendary Vans Warped Tour run by Kevin Lyman. He was famous for obsessively tracking his daily P&L, his profit and loss, during the tour.
Yeah.
If walk-up ticket sales were unexpectedly low in a specific city, he would immediately scale back unneeded production costs for that exact day, maybe cutting back on catering or reducing temporary staff just to ensure they mathematically survive to make it to the next city.
That discipline is sharply contrasted against the infamous Fyre Festival.
Magical thinking.
The guides describe their approach as relying on pure magical thinking. They blew massive portions of their budget on luxury promotional videos and Instagram models months before the event, simply assuming the money would magically appear later to pay for the actual plumbing, food, and infrastructure.
And we all know how that turned out.
You cannot spend money you hope to have. You can only spend what you actually have in the bank.
Right.
This brutal financial reality, the cash starvation, the weather risks, the razor-thin margins is exactly why the ticketing technology we discussed earlier has had to evolve so dramatically.
It's all connected.
Modern platforms like Tixer have to do far more than just sell an admission pass to keep these festivals afloat. They have transformed into what the industry calls a unified commerce ecosystem.
A unified commerce ecosystem. So instead of a fan buying a ticket on one site, then navigating to a city parking authority site to figure out where to leave their car, and then waiting in line at the venue to buy a t-shirt, these platforms sell the entire holistic experience in one single cart.
Everything in one place.
Admission, parking, exclusive merch, travel packages, and VIP upgrades are all bundled together at the exact point of sale.
And the brilliance of unified commerce lies in psychological timing. Organizers need to capture those add-on purchases at the exact moment the fans' excitement is at its absolute highest.
The moment they finally secure the ticket.
Exactly. If you can get them to add a $40 branded hoodie or a $60 VIP parking pass to the cart right then and there, you dramatically increase the average order value.
Because you capture revenue that might otherwise be entirely lost if they decided to, you know, buy a cheaper knockoff shirt in the parking lot later.
Yeah. These platforms also build in critical post-purchase flexibility. Let's say you bought a standard general admission ticket in March. 2 months later, you get a bonus at work and want to upgrade to VIP.
Oh, on a massive legacy system, that process is a nightmare.
It really is. You have to call a customer service line, beg for a refund on the original ticket, wait for the cash to clear, and then try to buy a new VIP ticket.
Which most people just won't bother doing because it's way too much friction.
But modern platforms offer seamless self-service upgrades. You open your app, click a button, pay the difference, and your cryptographic ticket instantly updates.
That's so easy.
Or they offer a feature called return to credits. If a fan suddenly can't attend, instead of demanding a cash refund that drains the festival's precarious liquid reserves, the fan gets a digital credit locked to their account for next year's festival.
Oh, that is brilliant. It keeps the revenue safely locked inside the festival's own ecosystem.
Exactly.
It stops the money from bleeding out to third-party secondary markets, scalpers, or massive refund waves. So what does this all mean for you, the listener?
Why should they care?
It means that the next time you are clicking through one of these beautifully designed ghost kitchen sites and you decide to add that branded hoodie to your cart or click to upgrade to the VIP parking pass, you aren't just treating yourself to a perk.
No, you really aren't.
You are directly funding the solvency of the culture and the community that festival provides. You are helping them beat that cash starvation timeline.
Because if the underlying math doesn't work, the stages don't get built and the music stops entirely.
Let's recap the incredible journey we've been on today. We started in the perfectly curated, beautiful, white-labeled ghost kitchens of modern ticket websites, designed to remove all friction from your purchase.
Then we traveled down into the heavily fortified back-end data trenches.
Right, where systems like Cloudflare are actively banning malicious code injections, and dynamic NFC tickets are self-destructing to thwart massive scalper bot networks.
And finally, we stepped into the panic-inducing spreadsheets of the festival organizers themselves, where they are desperately negotiating net 30 terms and praying for clear skies just to keep the gates open.
It takes a massive, globally distributed, invisible machine working overtime just so we can spend a careless weekend listening to our favorite bands.
It really does. But there is one final piece of this technological evolution we need to consider before we wrap up.
Okay, lay it on us.
We've seen how these platforms have transformed a simple paper stub into a digital wallet, a merch store, and a highly sophisticated data tracker.
Right.
As this technology integrates completely into our phones via NFC and unified commerce, consider this. In the near future, your ticket won't just grant you entry to a venue. It will become your entire digital identity for the weekend.
Oh, wow.
It will track every specific step you take on the festival grounds, exactly which vendor you buy your drinks from, and exactly which band you stand in front of, and for how long.
That is a little unsettling.
The question isn't just who owns the event's data anymore. It's how much of your own offline, physical experience you're willing to let them map.
That is a wild thought to leave on. Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive. The next time you are buying a ticket for that perfect summer festival, and the website looks absolutely flawless, take a second, look a little closer at the URL, and remember the invisible war happening just behind that digital illusion. We'll catch you next time.